Intervju Radija Študent.
Pred konferenco Disco.si Digital Sovereignty Conference, ki smo jo že napovedali v zadnjem Tehnoklistirju, odvijala pa se bo med 24. in 26. oktobrom v Ljubljani, smo posneli intervju z govorcem na konferenci Janom Ajnaljem. Z današnjim gostom se ekipa Tehnoklistirja deli zanimanje do proste in odprtokodne programske opreme, saj je zaposlen v Fundaciji za javno kodo, ki se ukvarja s pomočjo javnim institucijam pri kolektivnem razvoju in vzdrževanju javne kode. Tematika močno sovpada s kampanjo Javni denar, javna koda, ki jo izvaja Free Software Foundation Europe in smo jo obravnavali v Tehnoklistirju z začetka letošnjega leta. Na Radiu Študent se moramo pohvaliti, da smo prispevali k slovenskemu prevodu spletne strani kampanje, ki je dostopna na publiccode.eu/sl. Preveden je tudi videoposnetek, za kar sta poskrbeli služba za dopovedovanje in tonsko-tehniška služba. Jana Ajnalja smo povprašali po njegovih projektih s presečišča tehnologije in politike, o njegovem pogledu na digitalno suverenost ter pomembnosti uporabe proste in odprte programske opreme pri doseganju le-te in o njegovem mnenju glede politike Evropske unije z področja tehnologije. First, I'd like to know more about you and your projects. I found you've started GovDirectory. What's the project about and how it benefits the users? How many countries and administrations are covered in GovDirectory?
GovDirectory is a place where you can find information about all public organizations in the world. At least that is the ambition. So anyone should be able to go in there and find whatever they are looking for, no matter if it's a ministry, a court, or a municipality. And right now we have 27 countries, about 8,000 public organizations, and over 20,000 contact points, so multiple contact points for each organization. And if you want to contribute, you can just go to govdirectory.org, scroll down to the footer, and it will have different links if you want to help make the actual website better, or if you want to make the data better or add more data. And that is done through Wikidata.
You're a member of Foundation for Public Code. What does your work for Foundation look like?
I'm an employee of the Foundation for Public Code. We're a non-profit organization, charitable one, registered in the Netherlands, but we aim to work globally. And we help public organizations to collaborate when they develop open source software. It might be easy to work with your neighbor municipality, but if you want to work with one in another country, it might be much harder to figure out how that collaboration should go, where your responsibilities stop and others start. So we are there to help that smooth out the things and also make sure that code bases are built to be collaborated on, that the proper documentation is there. So it's easy for someone to get started and know how to contribute.
Do you have any successful projects or collaborations you'd like to point out?
One project that we've been working with was the Signalen project from Amsterdam. It was an open source system that lets citizens or residents report holes in the streets or overflowing trash cans. And it was open source, but not really set up in a way to enable a collaboration. And we helped them to get started and connected to the Association of Municipalities in the Netherlands and get two developer teams started to work on it. And now I think it's used in almost 20 municipalities in the Netherlands, and we hope it can go international as well and become an even larger collaboration.
What kind of feedback do you usually get when working with the political bodies trying to point them towards free and open source software?
And usually we don't need to try to point people towards Floss because there's so many already starting using it, but they mostly got into the idea to do it and pick a license. Sometimes they need even help to select a license, but they know that they want to do it. So we haven't been advocating for more people to do it as much because we have all our hands full working with the active ones, the evangelists and the fire souls.
Since open source and free softwares are enablers to digital conference, I'd like to proceed to the main topic of the upcoming conference, digital sovereignty. What does that term present to you?
For this conference, and in general, I think that our idea of digital sovereignty is when you are in control to adapt and adopt and adjust software to your needs so that you can make it run in the processes you really need it to run and not be locked in by a proprietary vendor who have no interest in making adjustments just for you. An example was from the Netherlands a little bit more than a year ago when the parliament wanted to implement, or rather remove, the value-added tax for fruits and vegetables and gave that task to the tax agency. But in their system, they couldn't set a zero or remove it because it was a proprietary system they didn't have control over. So it turned into a much more complicated process than if it would have been open source and it could just make the change themselves.
What are your thoughts about the conference? And did you already pick any sessions that you're interested in?
I'm really looking forward to the workshop Start Your Own Technology Cooperative. One of the hard questions for public organizations when they want to collaborate is how to formalize governance in a way that they can be held accountable, but also to be able to gain trust from other public organizations, and mostly for predictability, so that they know that other will be around and they won't be stranded in a code base where they don't have all the expertise themselves.
How did you get interested in this intersection between politics and technology?
I got interested in the intersection of politics and technology through Wikipedia. I was a Wikipedia editor, and then a local chapter in Sweden, Wikimedia Sweden, was started, and I thought I could help out, and I ended up on board, and later the chief executive officer for the association. And in that, there's a lot of things to connecting to politics about how knowledge should be freely accessible and what parts of knowledge is. Should we have freedom of panorama or something like that? So that's where my interest started, through being a user and enjoying access to knowledge.
Do you see any room for improvements of the policy of European Union that covers technology? I'm mostly interested from the digital sovereignty standpoint.
And I think there still are things to be done, both in copyright, the way we could access things, but even more so in EU policy. The European Commission has adopted a strategy for implementing open source, and they even made now a GitLab instance, co.europa.eu, where they have their own code bases, but that one should really be opened up for all the member states, so they could, we had one EU platform to collaborate on. And if that was the case, I think we could really pick up the pace in the collaboration. When if there's a good sanction place where people could trust and could be, rather than like GitHub is a good place, but it's also run by an actor who's not truly into the open source yet.
We can go a little bit more into detail here and tell the listeners that the entity in question is Microsoft, that acquired GitHub, the biggest repository of the open source code, in 2018 for nearly $8 billion. And since we also covered this in our broadcasts, TechnoAnima broadcasts, we can also say that what followed then was that Microsoft used the open source code to train its artificial intelligence and is now selling the knowledge that the artificial intelligence acquired through all these vast amounts of code that is stored on GitHub to sell it as a service, which already triggered a lawsuit. And we will make sure that that our listeners will be the first to know about the results of this lawsuit. Now to my next question. The other side of the coin of digital sovereignty is digital colonialism, which is a pressing topic in developing countries. What's your opinion on that?
I'm not very familiar with the digital colonialism, but I think that the key in the sovereignty is that you should be able to adopt it for your own needs, which means you shouldn't be forced something upon you that you don't want. You should be able to configure it or adapt it or make it so that it is something that you can use. And I think that is something that is also enabled through open source, because anyone can take a look at what the things are and see what is needed to change. Whereas if there's bundled packages of proprietary software being rolled out, that is more of an issue.
Do you have any last thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners? Or would you maybe like to emphasize something that I did not specifically ask?
Yeah, I think I want to highlight that anyone can contribute to open source. You don't need to be a developer. You can, just as a regular citizen, ask your government or your public organizations to have software that doesn't spy on you. And that most often means that it will be something open source where there is no such things built into it, that doesn't send your any information about you to any third party in some way. So that's just like what anyone could do. But then you could also, if you have some interest, enable this in other ways, by either as a contributor to non-code things. You can do translations, you can maybe just submit bugs when you encounter them, but also just as a user, because with more users, there's going to be more common knowledge in society about this. So even if you're just tagging along, you feel like you're not doing anything. If you talk to it, people, what you're using, if people see on your screen that you're using a different system, that could be something that moves the movement further along. So do whatever you can in your end that you feel comfortable with, but do something.
Thank you for your insights and your time, and we'll see each other at the Digital Sovereignty Conference.
And thanks for inviting me to talk to you. This has been a pleasure.
Poslušali ste intervju z Janom Majnaljem iz Fundacije za javno kodo. Intervju sem pripravil Leo Novelli.
Intervju Radija Študent.